Nigeria is a country that some political observers in Africa say is at a critical moment. For the country with the largest black population in Africa, it might be said that Nigeria has always been in a crucial time. I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net. We're landing in Abuja. Out of the window from the Virgin Nigeria plain, one can see the patchwork quilt of little green plots which cover the landscape, and it reveals a place that still relies on old world agriculture. I'm in Abuja, the capital, to join Nigerian journalists in a tour of a hospital and a school where Intel has donated technologies. Intel has commissioned this report, but has allowed me to cover this without editorial interference. On the ground in Abuja, I make some early connections, one with a journalist from the Technology Times of Nigeria. He graciously took me on a tour of the capital, where the National Assembly, the President's home, and other buildings have been built. Abuja has only been the capital since 1991. It's a planned city that was built up beginning in the 1980s.
You can see a lot of open spaces. It's just a city that's just been built up. That's just for you to, just to basically show you that is a city just coming up.
Sheena Badaru is an editor with the Technology Times based in Lagos. He travels to tech events in Europe and around Africa, and he knows Abuja well.
Lately, there's been plenty of talk about wanting to adopt technology to improve productivity in the civil service. And more of that is coming up, more and more of PC adoption, more and more of getting public servants to learn about technology and use them to improve productivity.
Do you think the number of young people that are using their cell phones and laptops and email and whatever application it is, that will cause Nigeria to adopt technology regardless of whether the government supports it, or do you think it's going to need the government backing to really get
most
it going?
Of the time it's actually been the private sector that's been at the forefront of driving most of this technology adoption, and most of the time just curious young people in businesses knowing that technology makes them work a whole lot better, improves their productivity. So most of the time they don't wait for government. It wasn't government that drove the PC boom in Nigeria. It was mainly the private sector. What we've just seen is that government today is now creating some enabling environment. Government today is now saying, okay, let's walk the talk by actually making use and encouraging more and more people to use technology.
Cell phones, PCs, software, the internet, all have brought about a sense of real progress. Talk about oil, and some of the Nigerians I talk to sound frustrated. Talk about technology, and they sound optimistic. Tech companies in Nigeria are following an arc similar to their cousins, albeit richer relatives, in Silicon Valley. For example, one Nigerian company, Spatial Technologies, has recently launched a mapping service for driving directions in Lagos and between cities and towns. Nigeria is a market. One can't help but notice the antennas at every turn providing cell phone services and billboards advertising them. But there is also the human development piece in all of this, where knowledge is power. Intel and many other companies see Nigeria and other emerging nations as places where they can help empower people and where the future market is. John Davies, the general manager of Intel's World Ahead program, says Nigeria has been a case study in planting seeds.
And I inaugurated the first wireless hotspot in Nigeria. It was in a hotel, so conferences could actually go to that hotel and they could use it as a conference center. Business and government people could get on the internet. I went back about 9 months later, there was 1,000 hotspots around Nigeria. In the second visit there, we talked about bringing computers to all Nigerians. We had a program called CANI, Computer to All Nigerians Initiative. A few months later, there were local companies, two local companies, Xynox and Omatek, building these computers. There were thousands and thousands of them being sold to individuals in Nigeria, all across the country. And we've been able to do that. We did our very first classmate, that low-cost, rugged computer. Our very first classmate pilots were done in two countries, Brazil and Nigeria. We started that in August of 2006. I went there to launch that. Close to a year later, they'd seen the results in the schools, they'd seen some of the scores, and Nigeria had come back and ordered tens of thousands of classmates to distribute those in many, many schools across the country. So that's three proof points that very quickly they can make a change. Neighboring countries look at that, neighboring countries want to follow that and copy that, and that again brings about that change. We're trying to do exactly the same in Kenya. We've just opened our legal entity there, where Nigeria is our headquarters in West Africa, and Kenya is becoming our headquarters in East Africa. So really get multiple engines going there.
Since visiting Abuja in the fall of 2007, my contacts with African professionals have grown into something more than acquaintances. There's the filmmaker, Bell, from Cameroon, who has begun his learning curve on how to digitize his films and distribute them online. Sitting on a Virgin Nigerian flight set for Senegal, I realized that the next time I come to Lagos, I won't be on my own. For PodTech.net, I'm Jason Lopez in Abuja, Nigeria. 3 hours and 20 minutes.